Guru Nation, welcome to episode 856 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. In this episode, I interview my lead CRC, Katie Welch. We talk about cheat sheets that she uses for managing the studies and managing some of the staff. And she actually gives a lot of these cheat sheets away for free on her LinkedIn, which is in the show notes as well. So we get into some of the nitty-gritty about managing studies and keeping everyone organized, which is always a work in progress. Hopefully, you find something of value here, probably something for everyone. Also, check out the sponsors in the show notes. Thank you to Inato for being a sponsor. Inato is a place that has been giving my site new study opportunities for free. Doesn't cost me anything. Just a little bit of time every week to see what's new and what I need to apply for. And it's a very thorough application process. They get all their revenue from sponsors, not from sites. So they do not get involved in your contracts or budgets or anything else. Check out Anato and thank you for sponsoring the podcast. Also, thank you, Creo, for sponsoring the podcast. They are eSource. We talk about Creo a lot in this episode. eReg, CTMS, they have alert reminders that you can set up. I mean, it's really so much going on in Creo. You can manage all aspects of your operations from recruitment to paying subjects to consenting them to even finding external vendors. So Creo's always innovating. I love Creo. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
Go follow Katie Welch on LinkedIn. She's been here almost since day one. Not quite, but like a year and day one.
Year, yeah.
Because a year of this before you was me and Jaime.
Yeah.
Screwing around. We screen failed people on this weird study that you may know just by name. But like the real work really started with you and someone else who was here. So you were employee number two by a month
yeah.
shy of being number one. So and close. Almost didn't hire you because we didn't really need a second person.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, you know, these bachelors of science, they don't come around that often in Yuma. Let's see what's up. And you're still here.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. You've been here long enough to change your hairstyle too.
Yep.
It's looking good.
Thank you.
And you love cheat sheets.
I do
and
love cheat sheets.
You post them on LinkedIn. When you post on LinkedIn, I've never seen like this kind of level of virality for someone that doesn't post often. But you just put these PDFs out there like for free. People can get them.
Yeah.
I'm imagining people are asking you questions like detailed questions like how are you using this? And
well, yeah, originally I had posted it just because I needed help making a study startup cheat sheet, and I had made pretty much like a prototype of one, and I just put it on there. I was just like, hey, can anyone help me make it better?
And did anyone help you?
Yeah, there was multiple comments.
The
of
community
like,
helped you.
Yeah. The LinkedIn community helped me.
Some were trying to argue though. I saw some of them.
It's okay. I made a few mistakes on there, but
you make more friends?
I did make more friends, more connections and everything, and I redid the little checklist that I made, and it's 10 times better than it was, and that is on my LinkedIn for anyone to use.
So here we have study startup checklist, ICF checklist. By the way, I haven't looked at these yet. Clinical research coordinator cheat sheet for monitor visit. I like. How to run a visit and tasks for studies. Is that it? That's what?
Yeah, those are like the basic ones. I do have others that are more specific for each study, like this one right here is specifically for one of the studies that we're working on right now.
So you make them study specific too.
Yeah, but these are more like the generic ones that you could pretty much use for anything you might need.
I got you. So when these are good to like frameworks for like a new study. And like when we start our new study, let's say COPD, you'll use like this and customize it to get something like that.
Yes.
Okay. Because every study has their own vendors.
Everything's different. Each study has different tasks. Like you might do blood work for one study and then one study, there's like no blood work. So it kind of just dependent on what is needed.
Is all the staff using this, or?
Yeah, all the staff. This is all on Creo. So whenever we have a study or a study visit, they can refer back to any of these cheat sheets on there, and so they don't forget anything.
Did they say it's helpful yet? Anyone?
They don't necessarily like task lists.
That's this.
Pretty much, these are kind of what the cheat sheets are, or checklist, are like types of task lists, which no one likes to be, not micromanaged, but like told like, hey, these need to get done, make sure they get done. But they are helpful. They have helped remembering to get tasks done, especially outside of studies and after visits, I guess.
So you initially, before you were the lead CRC, right? You made these for yourself.
Yes.
I remember back in the
days. Yeah, very beginning, I started initially just because someone had told me to make one.
Was it a monitor? Or who told you?
Yeah,
that was way back. That's way back. Samantha Anderson.
Yeah.
Shout out to her. Wow, that's old school. So she told you to make this.
She told me to make one to help with our initial study that I was working on. And just from there, I've made them ever since because they help. Cool.
They do help. So let's start. We'll just go one by one. I'm trying to figure out where to start first. Let's go with this task for studies first.
Okay.
Right? So... For all so the way you do it, because there's you're the lead CRC, and then there's three coordinators plus you, and then there's like sub-I's and stuff.
Yep.
So they don't like having these. For a while, we've had weekly task lists for people. So what are we doing now? Not really weekly
task
lists.
They're not mandatory task lists. So these are pretty much to help whenever... Maybe we seem to be slacking 1 week, or we need to do like visits quickly and make sure we do, especially our newer studies that we have. We want to make a list and make sure we get everything done in that study visit, especially for the first screening visits.
I like some of the... Okay, so this is the first time I'm looking at this. It's amazing. Contacting leads. Contacting patients, screen fails. Okay, this is what I was telling you earlier today. So contacting patients when they screen failed. One of my biggest pet peeves, I remember when we first started, me, you, and the other girl, patients would call me because I was more involved back then and say, hey, no one told me what's going on. And I was like, oh, no, you've screen failed. What do you mean no one told you? They're like, yeah, nobody told me, and I'm pissed because I'm like waiting for...
Right.
So that's when I was like, listen, guys, we have to let people know. And it was my fault because I didn't tell you guys, but now we're telling.
Yes, now it's now they written know. Down.
And so they no do, one right? Forgets. People contact them.
Yeah.
Because you have to put yourself in the shoes of a patient. Like if you've been excited about a study and then you don't know like where you're at. Okay, they just haven't called me in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like what, you know, what's going on? Even if you don't know yet, like in some of our studies, there's 2 months before rando. So you could, there's a risk of losing those patients.
Right.
If you don't keep in touch, like, hey, we're still pending certain results. There's nothing you need to do. Or sometimes there is something they need to do. Like we still need you to do your diary or whatever.
Right.
So what do you what have you found best? Like weekly contacts or twice a month? What's like the ideal for like that screening window?
Usually we tell patients, especially if there's like blood work, during that first screening visit, we'll contact you in about a week and a half. Usually cause that's within the screening window. Usually the screening windows have been like 3 weeks to 4 weeks, for our studies right now. And so we'll be like, hey, blood work comes back in a week and a half. We'll let you know if anything looks weird or if, you're still qualifying for the study. Usually in about that 2 week range, we know for sure if a patient qualifies or not. So that week and a half phone call will give them that way of like knowing if they qualify or not.
Communication, like a contact, a touch point.
Yeah.
Okay. Entering. And how do you decide now who's doing what? Like you just.
It depends on who did the study visit. So each of the coordinators, whatever visit they do, they're in charge of that visit until the end of that visit, until that visit is completed, pretty much.
Has that worked better since we've implemented that?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because before it was like kind of ambiguous, like, well, yeah, we all screen them and then everyone's expecting. Remember I was telling you, like, hey, no one's doing it if everyone expects someone else going to do it.
Right.
It's just human nature.
Yeah, so you have to tell your coordinators, like, hey, you are in charge of this. Make sure it gets done, pretty much.
Okay. Entering visits into EDC, data entry, everyone's favorite. EDC queries, checking for any new updated study docs. So that's like regulatory or like newsletters, stuff in SIP, everyone's favorite thing. Lab scent, frozen and ambient. Preparing for next visit, looking over protocol, print necessary documents, charge laptops. So you get it down to a detail.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want, patient comes in and then the iPad's not charged that they have to do their survey on.
Yep.
It's happened many times.
It's happened quite a few times, more than we would like. So I just made sure to write it down so we get it done.
Wow. Yeah. These are things you don't really think of. Get the kits ready.
Mm-hmm.
How many times before you implemented this, the patient's there and we don't have their kit? Then we got to scramble.
It's happened quite a few times. Luckily, we've been having like retest kits or like extra kits that we can use.
Unscheduled.
Yeah, but it's best to either the day before make sure we have the kits, or always be checking the inventory of the kits no matter what. But usually get the kit like prepared and ready if you have to like put the stickers on with their study ID or anything like that the day before, or at least like an hour before their visit, make sure everything's good.
Yeah, at least. And delegate who will do what. Now people will, when you put this on LinkedIn, they'll get this confused with the delegation log. Not the same thing you're talking
not
about.
The same thing. So delegation on this little cheat sheet is if you're working with someone, like everyone has their visit. But if we have extra people that day, like four people and only two visits, we'll have two people on each visit. And whoever's taking lead of that visit have control and delegate what the other person will be doing.
Mm-hmm. The next box. So these are still like general tasks.
Yeah, this is all general. And then it gets down to
study specific. Mm-hmm. And just so this is not a 3-hour podcast, so we'll kind of skip over some. But one of them. Updating Creo. So we use Creo, but updating your source with study updates. So like today, something happened. We had SAE.
Yep.
That's a good example of like update Creo. Hey, SAE, you got to notify the IRB within 24 hours, right? You got to notify the sponsor. So who did that? You? I'm guessing you did.
Yeah, I did it since pretty much everyone was gone today, left already.
And that SAE happened like yesterday. Well, we knew about it today.
We just found out about it today because the subject did not tell us until today. But it happened a couple weeks ago for that one. They just never contacted the site, even though we told them, like, hey, if anything ever happens, let us know, please.
They didn't think it was a biggie.
They didn't think it was a big deal, unfortunately. But yeah, so we got that.
So that's an important one, updating the source. So that would be a perfect example of that.
Yep.
Uploading shipment receipts and entering IP into IRT. When you start getting busy in studies, like high enroller or even like moderate level of activity, they'll start sending you more IP. So you start getting it more frequently.
Yeah, it's a ton.
That's a lot.
But we make it work.
Now it gets into like specific tasks for each study. So here's one where the PI needs to sign off in Creo and EDC for the paper questionnaires, fill out the entire page, enter IP shipment receipts. So you get into a lot of like the logs here, subject enrollment log.
It's kind of still a generic, more of a generic task list, but it's more study specific.
And then certain study specific things like eye exams, diet, exercise diary. Okay. So that's tasks for study, like task list. And you can make this even more detailed if you wanted. But
oh, yeah.
I think the beauty of these things to become pliant is to have them simple.
Yeah. Simple is key.
You know, and the best engineers often say the hard part's making things simple, like having the minimal effective,
mm-hmm.
in this case, information.
Right. And for these things, I don't want to make them too specific because then it's basically just a CRF form. And yeah, it's like the same thing over and over again. I'm like, right. Okay, we'll make it generic.
And as you learn what people are forgetting, or like, because you're managing the team now, so you're seeing, okay, people are forgetting. Like, this is commonly forgotten.
Right.
Let's add this. Okay, now, how to run a visit. Before, during, and after.
Yeah.
And this is...
Which this is also very generic.
Yeah.
But it's what we needed in case we ever do get any new employees sooner or later. It's a good outline of like what you might need to do.
Check before the visit. Check the visit with the protocol. Is everything in the protocol on the site configuration? Read any notes the protocol has on the schedule of events for each of the procedures. So like the footnotes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually the most important stuff's in those footnotes.
Yeah.
And they're like super tiny.
And they're super small. It's written on the side, but you got to make sure you read them.
Check that we have necessary supplies. So we talked about this. Make sure the laptop. So there's some redundancy too. So yep. Electronics charged. Print out necessary documents, consents, questionnaires, diaries. So this way you're not scrambling when the patient's there.
Right.
I hate that. I think it's unprofessional. Yeah. And I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not the most organized person, but I think you're much more organized than me. And
I would say so, yeah.
You do a good job.
But, yeah.
So do you think you need to be organized to be a good coordinator?
Yes. Yeah, because for one study... I don't think it's as big as a deal, but when you're having multiple studies and everything gets jumbled, like we're starting like 4 new studies right now, it's all super hectic. And I'm like, you need to have it organized or else it's all going to fall apart.
So, yeah, and it falls apart. The monitor gets mad.
Monitor mad.
Talks to the PI.
You're stressed. And so it's just.
Once the monitor talks to the PI. PI talks to me mad, then I got to come to you and be like, hey, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are these guys mad at me?
And then no one knows what's going on, and it's just...
Yeah, yeah.
Whole thing you don't want to play.
So better be safe than sorry. Yep. Check which rooms can be used. So in our case, we have the clinics. If you can't draw blood, make sure someone is present that can. That's actually underrated. During the visit, so if it's screening, you go through the ICF, have a... Give rundown of the study before ICF.
Mm-hmm.
Have subjects sign ICF first. So this is like the process of consent, basically.
Yep.
I mean, you have this pretty detailed. So you put this on LinkedIn too? Or which ones did you put?
The only one that's on LinkedIn right now is the study startup checklist that we haven't gone through yet.
We're going to get to that one last.
Yes.
This could easily be a 3-hour podcast, but we'll make it 30 minutes.
That works.
Clinical research coordinator cheat sheet for monitor visit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so far our monitors have been pretty happy, I gotta say. Like,
yeah, we've been doing pretty
have
well.
Have we ever had a monitoring visit where I can't really remember, even when I was doing your role, which was like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember our monitors ever being like upset. One of them was on a database lock. Remember, I was on the phone with her for 3 hours?
Yep, that was the one I was going to bring up.
3 hours.
It's way too long. I'm glad I wasn't there that day.
Say it to the for the videos. I was doing it.
Yeah, see? Dan was doing it.
I screwed up because I should have had this stuff for them. So when the monitor told me all that, and they were new staff, Katie and Desiree and Daisy were new. So I was like, dude, this is my fault. Like, let me just get on the phone with this lady.
Mm-hmm.
The lady was a senior CRA. I'm also super experienced. So we got it done. But if that was like inexperienced CRA or inexperienced coordinator, that wouldn't have got done in 3 hours.
No. And it was already 3 hours.
And it was 3 hours with like 2 experienced people. Like, okay, I know what to do. Just tell me. If it was, if just one side of that equation was inexperienced, God forbid both. Oh,
it would have been the worst day ever.
That day. That would have been like a month. Like, I think audit sponsor would have came.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been bad. But yeah. We managed to clean it up. So that's, if you don't prepare, guys, that's you're going to have pain later. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay for it eventually. Yeah. So, this is your cheat sheet for monitor visits.
Yeah, which that one's a little newer. That one I did use ChatGPT for.
What did you prompt?
All I prompted was give me a rundown of what a clinical research coordinator needs to do when a monitor comes on site for a study. And then I didn't even ask for like the before, during, after. It automatically gave that to me. Yeah. And then
let's see if it's right.
There's a few changes that I think need to be made on it. But overall, it worked really well. It worked a lot better than any of these other cheat sheets I tried to make with ChatGPT or any type of AI.
You know, ChatGPT owns all the output. It's in the fine print when you agree to use it.
Yeah.
Anything it gives you, it owns.
Okay.
So, like, people trying to write books with ChatGPT, it's not, you can't copyright that. It's,
gotcha.
It's own thing. You own what you input or what you upload.
Gotcha.
And there's gray area there. Yesterday, I interviewed Darshan Kulkarni because I made, like, a source template for Luis, one of our coordinators, like a framework to start creating source. And I uploaded the protocol. Which this is not legal advice. I probably can't do that. But I did just to see what would happen. And it did create the source, but I needed to prompt it many times to stay on track.
Yeah.
Because the AI was trying to go like on different tangents. And it tried to skip like similar visits. It tried to like repeat them.
Yeah.
And to create source, you don't want that. You want it to actually include more, and it ignored the footnotes.
Yeah.
So I said, go back, pretend like you're a coordinator, and go back and include the footnotes, as those are the most important parts usually. And then it basically like said memory saved, it apologized, and it did it.
Yeah.
So you need like some adult supervision with ChatGPT, but it's only getting started.
Yeah.
Like it's infancy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been working pretty good. Again, this is pretty much the main one I've used it for. I've tried to use it with all the other ones, but it didn't give me what I was kind of like seeing in my head of like what I wanted on a cheat sheet or how to go about it. But yeah, it works great for other things. And
pre-visit prep, document review, so study protocol, ensure understanding of study requirements, inform consent form, verify they're up to date and signed, CRF, so the EDC reg docs, delegation. I mean, this is basically telling you to check everything.
Mm-hmm.
Site readiness, ensure the source are complete, legible, IP, make sure it's there, it's logs. It's basically telling you to check everything.
Which is pretty much what you have to do for a monitoring visit.
Yeah.
I think on there, it didn't have make sure PI involvement or was able to meet or anything like that. I don't think it was on that one.
Yeah,
it was on my original one I had made.
Yeah, because another thing, like pre-visit prep, we would probably add remind PI.
Yeah.
You know, so like, hey, even 5 minutes, meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome the monitor. Offer a warm welcome and introduce the team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, provide access. Yeah, this one's good. Generic. It needs more, like, we could put more detail, but this is good. This is good. ICF checklist. All right. Now, we use Creo, and we don't, some sponsors actually don't want, like, RE consent.
Yeah.
Right? We ran into that, actually. Mm-hmm. So, in those cases, we've been using paper consent, even though we have Creo e-consent capability. We don't use it for any study?
Right now, most of our studies either have their own consent like vendor that they use.
So they don't want Creo?
Yeah. One of our studies, we did use Creo, and it worked out great. The other one that we were trying to use Creo for... I'm not sure if the monitor himself was like, no, like, I think I'd rather have you do paper, or the sponsor actually said, hey, please use paper. So I don't know what was going on with that, really. I don't think we got a clear answer. But, I mean, the Creo one works great. But if they want us to do ICF on paper, then we do that too.
And either way, the checklist applies. But we've put our process of consent now in.
Mm-hmm.
So just check boxes instead of writing that same narrative over and over. It's just check some boxes. Informed consent. So here's like the process. Was the subject met in a private room? Was the subject given a copy of the ICF? Was the subject let known that being in the study is voluntary and they could leave anytime? Was the subject given plenty of time to ask questions? Is each page initial and dated? Was ICF thoroughly explained to the subject in a way they could understand?
So it's pretty much specific to our SOP. And then the extra little detail for the process of consent right there is for, like, if they asked any questions, had any concerns, what was said to them.
Now, in our SOP, I changed this recently, I think, with you, because if the IRB for that study doesn't require each page initial and dated, I put in there, we don't have to.
Okay.
So we don't really need that one, but for the ones that you do need it. So it's probably, I don't know, that part's tricky, because if you don't need it there on every page, you shouldn't. Because you're basically giving yourself another opportunity to miss.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the hard part, where you probably need like study-specific ICF checklist, honestly.
Yeah.
And then the thing that scares me the most, you have it here, ICF version, amendment version.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we need to know when IRB is going to expire and ICF is going to expire. We need to, like, update the new studies, because we have new studies now. That's the thing that I, like, if I lose sleep over anything at night with this, with you guys, and with it, really with anyone, it would be that.
Yeah, we've had a couple close calls here and there.
But now we're at doubling our studies.
We're doubling our studies, but I definitely have been double checking with the monitors and stuff too, because we'll get an email saying, hey, new consent form is being made.
Yeah, it's on the way.
It's on the way, and they'll send it, but it's not approved by the IRB yet.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh gosh, like, is it actually ready or not? So I'll double check with the monitor, and usually they'll let me know pretty quick.
Yeah. That's the part where that's like QA needed, but that you're basically doing that right now. And I think there's a couple of the staff members, because I've been having people like specialize in what they're good at. Like, well, you in managing people, and Lana with recruitment, Gracio figure out, but really it's been like phlebotomy with her. And then Luis, I think, would be good for QA.
Yeah.
I think, to check like these kind of things. And then last one, study startup checklist. This podcast easily could have been 3 hours.
Just by that.
Yeah, like we could have gone in depth on all these things. So study startup checklist. This is the famous one from LinkedIn that got Katie a bunch of new followers.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of followers from that, huh?
I did get a lot of connections from that one.
Look at you go. All right, so basically, every study is a little bit different on startup, but there's like things that repeat over and over, the process more or less. So you've got, because in our case, we have like 5 different PIs.
Yeah.
And we even have like 5 different, I would put like site name, because as well, because we've been getting confused. I have too. Each PI has technically, it's all Yuma clinical trials.
Right.
And we have a note to file for that. But each site is really named something else for that PI.
Mm-hmm.
So I would add that just so everyone knows. But yeah, you have who's the PI, who's the sub-PI, who's the coordinator, CV, GCP, AIDA. You let me know today, my GCP's almost expiring, so I gotta do it.
Any type of certificate that might expire, like GCP, IATA's
license.
Medical license, yes. Even CVs. I think most.
CLIA waiver. They have. I think they have expirations too.
I'm not sure on that one, but
even there's always work in progress.
Even the CVs have alerts on them because most monitors or sponsors, it seems like, want a CV actually like signed and dated like within a year or two. So those as well.
Like the alerts go to everyone, or is it just you?
No. The alerts don't come in an email form. If you go to our e-reg, they're at the very bottom. There's like additional information, and it'll have all the alerts on there.
Okay.
So depending, you could do like a 3-month alert, 6-month, like a week alert, like whatever you want, it'll be down there.
Have you taught anyone about that? Or
yeah, everyone knows how to add an alert. And see where it's at.
Yeah, this is good, Katie. This experiment's working out well. Okay. Study startup. We've done entire videos on this too, so you guys can watch that if you want. But you have it here, 1572, financial disclosures for everyone who needs it, conflict of interest form when they are separate, source data ID log, protocol signature page, delegation of authority log, source data agreement, EMR checklist, training log. I mean, you have really everything here that they could ask for.
Yeah.
Investigator brochure signature, clinical trial agreement, submission IRB. Okay, I was wondering where that's at. All right. Yeah, feasibility. Wow. This is like even... They ask for that sometimes, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good luck finding those a lot of times. Yeah. We're not even storing those anywhere. I know Versatrail used to store it for us.
Yeah. I thought it was on Inato.
For the Inato ones.
For the Inato ones, yeah.
I need to probably use Versatrail again for the feasibilities, unless you're doing them or...
I can't remember. That'd be like a Lana.
That'd be like a mirror Lana thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All in all, it's pretty good, guys. Yeah. I don't know. We're going to title this video like cheat sheets.
Your cheat sheet.
They're running a study. This is going to go viral, Daniel. And then Katie's going to get a bunch of followers. But no, she's not interested in your jobs, guys. She's very happy here.
Yes. He gave me a month long off.
Month vacation. Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. All right. No, they're good.
Good stuff, Katie. Well, thank you very much. You know, again, this work in progress, like these things can be modified.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, I think this will be helpful for a lot of people. So thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Bye-bye.